You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
4WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A partial government shutdown means uncertainty for federal employees in Wisconsin. There are some 18,000 civilian federal workers in the state. The partial shutdown, the first since 2018, meaning hundreds of thousands of what are deemed non-essential federal workers across the nation, will be without pay possibly for weeks. In addition, President Donald Trump has suggested using the shutdown to facilitate permanent firings. Essential services, including Social Security and the U.S. Postal Service, won't be impacted, but federal grant funding to various state agencies could be. Amid the government shutdown, Democrats are pushing to continue tax credits for health insurance premiums. They're set to expire at the end of this year. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
They help 22 million middle and lower income Americans afford their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. A family of four with an income below about $125,000 qualifies. If these credits stop, the average person could see their premium more than double. Wisconsin Representatives Mark Pocan and Gwen Moore and Senator Tammy Baldwin have been talking to constituents about what this would mean for their lives. Here's Baldwin at a roundtable in Marathon County.
You know, we have precious little time to act, but I'm hopeful because I do have some colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle who are taking a strong look at this. I am leading the fight in Congress to extend these tax credits, make them permanent so that people will be able to afford their insurance through this program.
These programs save the average family about $700 a year. If the tax credits expire, Baldwin says as many as 30,000 Wisconsinites could lose their coverage. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Attorney General Josh Call announced that Wisconsin and a coalition of states secured a court order protecting federal funding for state energy programs intended to help residents and municipalities in Wisconsin save energy and improve resilience. In August, Wisconsin joined a coalition in filing a lawsuit to block a U.S. Department of Energy policy that capped reimbursement for indirect and fringe cost at 10%. The coalition argued that the policy violated federal law, ignored previously negotiated cost agreements, and threatened states' ability to administer federally funded programs. In Wisconsin, DOE's cap would have cut state energy program funding for indirect and fringe cost from nearly $370,000 to $130,000, creating staffing gaps, limiting oversight, and disrupting support for local energy projects and statewide resilience. The court ruled that DOE's attempt to impose the cap was unlawful. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs have announced nearly $430,000 in grant funding awards for veteran mental health initiatives. The funding through the Veteran Mental Health Community-Based Organization Grant Program is meant to support nonprofits that address the mental well-being of veterans in the state. Nine organizations will receive a portion of the grant funding. Wisconsin farmers are asking you to eat more potatoes. The Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Grower Association is reminding Wisconsinites to get their potatoes and veggies locally. The state is the third largest producer of potatoes in the country, but most of the spuds are shipped out of state. Spokesperson Dana Rady says when you're buying potatoes in the store, to look for the stamp that says Wisconsin Healthy Grown to know you're helping out local farmers. The Grant County Sheriff's Office is currently investigating a death in the village of Montfort. During the early morning hours Wednesday, the Grant County Dispatch Center received a 911 call from a resident on West Main Street in the village of Montfort, reporting a subject there with a gunshot wound. A sheriff's deputy was nearby and arrived on scene in approximately 3 minutes and located the subject deceased inside the residence. Assistance was requested from the Wisconsin State Crime Laboratory's Crime Scene Response Team to assist with processing the scene. Investigators, along with the Grant County Coroner, worked throughout the day and are continuing the investigation into this incident. No identifying information of the decedent is being released at this time, pending notification of family. There is no immediate danger to the public. To maintain the integrity of the investigation, the Sheriff's Office will not be releasing additional details at this time. The investigation into the incident is ongoing, and additional information will be released as it becomes available. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Grant County Sheriff's Office at 608-723-2157. The identities of the three people killed in a fiery crash Saturday morning in Sauk County have been released. The single vehicle crash on Coon Bluff Road just north of County Highway P in Delona Township resulted in the deaths of Garrick D. Cleveland Jr., 34 of Linden Station, Naomi L. Ewok Cleveland, 34 of Baraboo, and Dante B. Grant, age 37, with ties to Wisconsin and Nebraska. Preliminary reports indicated that the vehicle was northbound on Coon Bluff Road at a high rate of speed, lost control, and entered a wooded area. The vehicle immediately started on fire. Reedsburg Area Medical Center has been recognized as one of the cleanest hospitals in the United States by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, as reported by Becker's Hospital Review. The recognition is based on patient survey results collected by CMS that measure how patients feel about the cleanliness of the hospital's rooms and common areas. RAMC credits this achievement to its environmental services team and all employees who help maintain high standards of cleanliness. Keeping a hospital clean goes beyond appearance. It plays a vital role in preventing infections, supporting recovery, and creating a positive experience for patients and families. Ithaca Schools is celebrating homecoming this week with various activities, including dress-up days. The big annual event during homecoming week is the annual school fair. Before the fair gets underway on Saturday, there's something new Friday night. Houston Bolin is a senior at Ithaca High School and an organizer of the event.
Friday night, we have the family fun night from 5 to 8. So usually there is an alumni volleyball game that's been every year, but now it's co-ed. We also have the Bags Tournament, which is going to be $10 a team, and carnival games.
The Hall of Fame ceremony will be held Saturday afternoon at 2. Dr. Brandon Federley is the high school middle school principal at Ithaca.
We have two great alumni honorees. John Jones, who I believe has the in-game scoring record in Ithaca basketball history, and then Chris Fry as the community honoree.
Saturday afternoon's homecoming football game will kick off at 2:30 and will feature Ithaca versus Royal. On Saturday night, the homecoming dance will be at 8. The weekend will wrap up with the horse show at the Anderson Family Quarter Horse Farm on Sunday morning at 11. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Game two is tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Cubs in the NLDS. Milwaukee winning game one, 9-3 on Saturday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Well, I mean, we're down 1-0. Nothing else changes besides that. It's 1-0. I don't think, I'm not sure we'd manage the game differently on Monday, up 1-0, down 1-0. So it I'm not sure it does. We made it harder for ourselves. We got to win 3 out of 4 now. They got to win 2 out of 4. That's it.
The Cubs will start Shota Imanaga. Brewers manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Murph, what are your pitching plans?
Yeah, Ashby's going to start. I don't know if Priester will be next. I really don't.
NFL, the Packers back at work after having a bye week. They host the Cincinnati Bengals Sunday at 3:25. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a 2-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have 6 episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for 6 seasons, and the new iteration. There is one house that will be less full. Fraudsters Lori Laughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli have decided to take a break from their marriage. The couple was embroiled in a college admissions scandal in 2019 after bribing college officials to get their daughters of limited intelligence into a college. The couple pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud abroad. Ex-Full House actor Laughlin spent 2 months and Giannulli 5 months in minimum security correctional facilities. Yep, they even finagle their way into better prisons. A Hollywood Reporter says the two have been married for 28 years and have decided not to file divorce papers at this point. The college admissions scandal was a nationwide conspiracy. Fellow actors Felicity Huffman and William Macy were also involved in the scandal because they cheated for their rich kids too. Okay, I get that it might be a bummer to be privileged and not all that bright, but the parents are actors. Couldn't they have taught their kids to at least pretend to be smart? 25 titles that qualify for the new podcast category for 2026. Some of the nominees include The Smartless Podcast with Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett. The Joe Rogan Experiment, which is a podcast for bros who need constant reassurance that they're bros. Call Her Daddy with Alex Cooper. Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. The Bill Simmons Podcast. And Good Hang with Amy Poehler. Sometimes it seems like Netflix owns the world, but really weird rich guy Elon Musk, who actually wants to own the world, might have something to say about that. According to Variety, the pseudo-free speech advocate is urging his 227 million followers to cancel Netflix because, well, he doesn't like what they're saying. He is accusing the platform of having a transgender agenda and, in a recent post, said, "Cancel Netflix for the health of your kids." Yes, Elon, all the problems in society are because of Tiger King. In a related story, most of Elon's kids don't like or know him. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy and much cooler today with scattered showers from time to time. Maybe a rumble of thunder as well. A high of only 63. A lingering shower possible this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and crisp with a low of 43. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday. A high of 65. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.